Deal Insurance. This is Brock.
And this is John.
What is Deal Insurance?
Well, deal insurance, or I think most people refer to it as rep and warranty insurance, at least in my neck of the woods. It's basically a tool that helps manage the risk of a transaction by providing a third-party funding source, an insurance company, to pony up for indemnity obligations that arise out of an acquisition agreement.
And it's a relatively new phenomenon, right? It's not something that's
been
around
20
years.
Yeah, we started hearing about it. People started pushing it within the last decade or so, I think. At least that's when I've started hearing about it. And it's grown. It's become particularly popular among, and I think its most frequent use has been among the private equity buyers who use it to enhance the terms of the bid that they're making for a potential target.
And what's a good time to typically start talking about getting it?
Well, a lot of times you're doing it at the outset. The buyers will reach out and talk about an insurance policy and actually include that in the bid that they make. You know, it's a great way for a bidder to make its bid more attractive to a seller because it enables it to provide the seller with greater certainty about the transaction, because it knows it's going to be post-closing liability is going to be more limited than it might otherwise be. So I think traditionally it's been right at the outset of the deal that you start thinking about and start talking with underwriters about the possibility for rep and warranty insurance policy.
And who makes the decision to obtain it? Do the outside lawyers get involved, or is this mainly the management team?
Well, you know, it's typically been the buyer, and again, it's historically it's been private equity firms that have been big users of this product. I think that from what I have read, I have not seen it in strategic deals, but I know I have read commentary from other very experienced M&A people that are saying that it is becoming a more common feature with strategic buyers as well. It can be surfaced by a number of folks. If someone's not familiar with it, most M&A lawyers are and may talk about the advisability of it. If you've got a banker working on the deal, that person may surface it. The corporate development folks at a company may also be very familiar with the concept. Again, it's typically been the buyer, but if you're a seller as a private equity firm, they may make it known at the outset that they expect any kind of a buyer to obtain rep and warranty insurance policy if they're serious about making a bid.
And how common is it, I guess, and let's compare public deals to private deals.
Well, again, I think it's, again, for private deals, I think it's become very common in private equity deals, again, for all the reasons we talked about. It's a great way to enhance value. If you're on the sell side as a private equity seller, you want to protect that fund's assets. You don't want to have a lot of tail obligations that might come into play in a fund that is going to have to distribute out to its investors in a few years. So I think it's become very common in private equity deals and with private company buyers, because that's, or private company sellers, because that's where you're going to typically have indemnity arrangements, which is what these things have targeted. Now, again, I've heard the strategic buyers are starting to buy these policies as well, but I think it's primarily been a private deal phenomenon because of the fact that it's intended to address indemnification obligations, and it's mostly been in the middle market deals where you've seen it, typically between $50 million and $500 million in transaction value. And there's a reason for that $50 million number. The coverages usually start at $5 million, and they don't want to go lower than that. So $50 million, if you have a 10% indemnity cap or escrow requirement or what have you, that's kind of a nice fit for a starting point for those policies. But I know that insurers will go north of $500 million in coverage in some of these things as well. So it's a pretty broad range within the middle market that people have been pitching rep and warranty insurance to.
And in terms of documentation, how involved is that? What are the junior lawyers going to be doing?
It, No, it's basically an insurance policy. A lot of times, you'll have someone with experience in insurance or understanding rep and warranty policies review the policy. Typically, the buyer agrees to purchase it for breaches by the target of any of its reps and warranties in the contract, up to a policy cap that is equal to what the seller might otherwise deposit into an escrow fund. The premiums are typically between 3% and 4% of the policy limit. The policies typically expire a little bit later than the expiration of the survival period that's set forth in the agreement for the reps and warranties. There's usually a sharing element to the premium where the buyer springs for the first layer, and then the second layer may be funded by the seller. Again, I have not experienced this, but I have seen reports that and have heard anecdotally more deals being structured where there's not a seller contribution for an increased premium. It's all on the buyer.
Great stuff. Thanks.
You're welcome.